One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 4 of Don't Make Me Come Back. They're a funny podcast about family. I am Dustin Nickerson, the host of this, here with Stephen English.
Hey.
That's his name right now. He used to be CT English. Could decide on a stage name.
Nope.
Stephen English, is that your real name?
Stephen Carl Thomas English.
Nobody asked for that. Nobody asked for a full name. Stephen English is here producing the government. Well, this is episode 4. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Each week we talk to different funny people and people of interest about something to do with family. Today, showing that that is a very broad topic for us, we're talking to Christian Spicer about video games. And Christian is a bit of a techie. Not a techie. He's a bit of a gamer. He's on a thing called Twitch,
yep.
Which I act like I know about, but I don't.
Yeah.
But he's also a very funny stand-up comedian, former lawyer. So he's a really interesting guy. Make sure you follow him at Spicer on Twitter. You can get him at Christian_Spicer on Instagram. See when he's touring and doing dates and shows in your town and all that kind of fun stuff. So we hope you guys enjoy this episode. I really enjoy talking about just how video games are not just, you know, like when we were kids, like it was like this, like you'd make fun of them.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, just video games. Even though we all did it, like you didn't want to go too far down that road.
No.
You didn't want to be the guy, the video game guy.
Well, I guess one day it became not cool to be playing video games all night.
Like, yeah.
When you were like in sixth grade, it was fine. And then one day in eighth grade, it was like, oh, you have to like
get a job, because that's what it was like in the 90s.
Yeah.
That's not true, but
you had to work at a car wash.
You had to go to your soccer car wash, that's yeah. for sure. You had to do that, you know, raise some money while someone creepily stared at you as you clean their rims.
Yeah.
Some youth development for you.
Yeah.
So, but we talk about how, like, that's not the case with video games anymore. They're as mainstream yeah. as they've ever been.
It's like comic know? Books now.
Yeah, yeah, or WWE.
Yeah.
you can't call that subculture
no.
anymore. So, it's a really fun episode, and I hope you guys enjoy it. Right now, my 10-year-old, we have a lot of discussions about video games because he really wants to play Fortnite.
Yeah.
You know about Fortnite?
My nephew plays it.
Yeah, how old's your nephew?
He is 10.
Yeah, so that's how old my son is.
Yeah.
And according to him, every one of his friends plays it.
Right.
Which, you know, means like 9 of them play it.
Right. Well, all of his friends, he only knows probably 60
that's
people
yeah.
total in the whole world.
So percentage-wise,
yeah.
you're right. That's a lot. And, you know, we don't want to let him play because he has a Nintendo Switch, which we talk about in this episode. And it's like, you don't need more. You don't even have time for the video games that you have. You know,
yeah.
you come home, you're doing your homework.
Right.
You know, you're cleaning my car every day in the rims. Again, there's no car wash when you're just scrubbing.
Just get in there.
Just every day scrubbing, you know, like Cinderella,
mm-hmm.
just scrubbing the walls.
Building character.
He does homework and he goes to his sports. Maybe he gets a little bit of screen time.
Yeah.
And he wants this, like, the last thing that you need is, like, another distraction. Plus, I think it's like a shooter game.
But it's also, you know, I watched him play it, and mostly just because I wanted to see how just kind of, you know, what you want to be hip, you want to know what's going on. So I heard you're playing Fortnite, so I just watched him. I watched him for exactly.
You're talking to a 10-year-old, so I heard you're playing Fortnite.
Yeah, is that cool?
What do I need, like an invitation? Is this like Google Wave?
Yeah.
Do I need an invitation to play?
I watched for exactly 3 minutes and I was bored out of my mind. Bored out of my mind, because you have to like survive to
okay.
like the last person, and he just like, instead of like going out and like trying to like actually like shoot at people. He just like hides.
He Hunger Gamed it. And he the just, kid, like, the guy from Hunger Games, yeah. right? He just hid.
And you can build like structure, so he just builds like a wall around him and just like waits until like the very last minute. And then the minute he leaves, he gets shot in the face and dies. So,
it's like a merge of a shooter game in Minecraft.
A little bit, yeah.
No, that's exactly what
very
it is.
Very boring.
Yeah.
to watch a 10-year-old play.
Especially one that's not aggressive about it.
Especially one that's, yeah.
Which I guess if you got a kid playing a shooter game, you'd rather him be like that. I'm going to survive. True. I was like, I'm going to kill all you.
Exactly. yeah.
So, yeah, my kid really wants to play it. And that was the funny thing. So there's been two things where I've like broke his heart this last week because it's in his mind that he's going to get it. Even though I've been like, you're never going to play Fortnite in this house. Just like it's not, we have to draw lines.
Right.
You're not getting online games. It's just not going to happen. Yeah. And it's not compatible with the Switch. So, we got a new computer. We're bragging. He thought that we were getting it, like, just for Fortnite.
Right.
Like, no, man. Like, we didn't... Like, we just went and got this computer.
Right.
This brand new iMac.
Right.
Bragging.
Just for Fortnite. All right. Relax. every college sophomore has that computer, so just take a step back.
My dad bought it for me. And then we went to Lennon's and things and like, picked out some furniture for my dorm.
A nice beanbag chair. Okay. Wow. You're living that best life, man.
Got that Joel Osteen life every day of Friday. Yeah. and I was like, no, man, we didn't, you know, we got other purposes for this. Right. And then today, so he's going on the road with me this weekend. We're going up to Seattle. I was like, hey, man, we got a surprise on Thursday. And he's like, I get to play Fortnite. And I was like, I'm not flying you to Seattle to play Fortnite. We're going to a Seattle Mariners game. Your favorite team was like, oh, that's
he's
cool.
He's like, oh, cool. Maybe it's Fortnite night.
It's just
there.
In
Maybe
his
give
head.
Out some stuff.
My wife is like, you're not going to play that for at least a fortnight. And I was like, nice try on the pun, honey, but that's like just means he gets it in 2 weeks. Yeah. The answer is no.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Like, that's what a Fortnite means.
Well, and I'm trying to tell him, like, dude, this is going to be gone in a month. You know, don't give it too much momentum.
It's the new Pokemon Go or Clash of Clans or something like that. It's definitely... But I think the online stuff for kids too. It's like I don't know in Fortnite. I'm sure it is, but when you know can like have the people talking to each other. It's
that's the biggest thing.
Awful.
That's why we don't want it.
Awful.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing. Like
it's just the worst people of all time.
And that's our version of like homeschooling. We essentially do the homeschool version of video games. Like no other people.
You make the video games in the home. Yeah,
that's exactly it. So
playing Q-Bert in the backyard.
Yeah. Anyways, I hope you guys enjoy this episode 4 here. Thanks for putting up with any background noise that we may have. Here we are recording this here. We are back at Madhouse Comedy Club and the show's starting, so we got some voices in the back and some fat beats. So thanks for putting up with this. This is make sure if you have not already, follow us on Instagram and Twitter. We are at Don't Make Me Come Back There. And always shoot us an email at don'tmakemecomebackthere@gmail.com. If you just want to tell us a note, got a funny story you want us to put on, you know, topics that you want us to talk about. And most importantly, make sure you rate and subscribe this podcast and tell your friends about it. That said, everybody, enjoy this episode in this chat with my buddy Christian Spicer. Christian, you so there's so many things that I want to talk to you about always because you're a friend and I genuinely appreciate our conversation. I'm gonna list a thing. I have a list here of things that you do.
Okay,
tell me if these are true or false descriptions about you, things that you do.
Okay,
you are a comedian.
Yep, true.
You're a podcaster.
True.
You are a dad.
True.
You are a lawyer.
Not true.
Not currently true?
I graduated law school. I practiced law for several years.
And you were very good.
I was very good.
You said that to me once.
I was very good. My bar
license. I'm going to make you say that on the podcast.
I was very good. My bar licenses are currently set to inactive. So I am not an attorney. I cannot practice law. Any legal advice I give is not legal advice.
Okay.
Yeah.
So can I bother you for legal advice or no?
I can give you my opinion about something as a friend.
Right.
But it is not legal advice.
What type of law? What were you doing?
I was a commercial litigator.
What's that?
Businesses suing each other, basically.
Oh.
And then the last part of my career, I did legal malpractice. When other attorneys got sued, we would represent them.
You would represent the lawyers?
Yeah.
Wow. That's like some...
It's fascinating because you kind of have to understand, you have to learn what they know.
Right.
So like if you're an IP attorney got sued for something, you dive into IP law for a whole bunch.
Right.
And
so does that mean you were a better lawyer than the lawyers being sued, theoretically?
No, I was.
Or were they like giving you tips and stuff?
Dude.
As like a batting coach? What is this? I don't.
We had one attorney that actually fired, like I was working with this partner on the case and he was like, I can't retain you. Like, but it was just like, neither one of us went to Harvard or Princeton, and he did, and it was like this prestige thing.
Gross.
It was like whatever. I mean, his firm is like out of business now because they got sued to smithereens and they lost.
it's not saying, after they fired you.
Yeah, I mean they did some egregious stuff, but
right.
Having a lawyer represent a lawyer for a legal malpractice case is like a doctor should go to the doctor.
Yeah,
you can self-diagnose something and be like, oh, this does need stitches, but right. Like you don't want to be like,
you shouldn't self-stitch.
Yep, that is a lump. That's cancer. Well, yeah. Time to start myself on chemo. It's like it's even with comedy, right? Like
right.
You think something's funny, and then you go on stage and say it in front of a room full of strangers, or you pitch it to your friend. You're like, you know, I've been wondering.
Yeah, what do you think of this bit?
Right.
Yeah.
And so it's like an attorney. You clearly messed up.
Right.
Like, rightly or wrongfully, you might have not messed up legally, but your client is upset with you.
Right.
You're getting sued. And now you need a fresh pair of eyes to come in and look at it.
What a weird world.
Yeah.
The idea that you're repping a lawyer. I would be so intimidated or like just insecurity, especially if they're hype, you know, all pretentious about it.
Yeah, well, you just have to trust that you're good at what you do. And right. that's why they're hiring you
like
for
comedy.
Yeah,
yeah, I guess that makes
the first
sense.
25 cases were really good. The last 25 were okay.
Yeah, they did very well,
did very
is what
well.
I said.
They did very well. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Don't hold that against me. Okay, what else is on my list here? You are a runner. Were you a competitive runner?
If you're asking me if the U.S. Track and Field Coaches Association ranked me 15th in the nation my senior year, I would have to say yes. Is that the question you're asking?
You are so good at like the almost humble brag, but it's just brag.
It's just brag. Yeah. Yeah. I can't. I mean,
if you happen to be asking me.
If that's the, yes.
I don't disagree with what you're saying.
I still run recreationally now.
Yeah.
I have a bad knee/IT band. That's a long story. It's not whatever. But yeah, I ran in high school and I had a scholarship.
What did you run?
400, 800.
Oh, those are the worst of the races.
Maybe the steeplechase is worse. Yeah. Or a 10K on the track.
Nobody
is real
counts
boring.
The steeplechase.
No, it's a brutal race, though.
Yeah.
It is a brutal race.
I was so well. Did you have? Did I was trying to do a runner bit tonight. Did
I
you
heard
hear
it.
Any of it?
Yeah, I did hear it.
My wife was a runner. She ran in college.
Oh, you called her a current runner?
Yeah, she still does run.
Okay.
Yeah. She, but I think she, like you, has transitioned into, for lack of a better word, normal fitness.
Right.
Like
yeah.
Weights.
Right.
Do you do CrossFit or something?
Yeah.
Ugh. Spare me, but the
okay. I mean, you asked,
I'll spare you my hacky CrossFit bit for
did
now.
Did you hear my hacky CrossFit bit?
No,
I'm actually pretty proud of it.
Please give it. Let's exchange CrossFit bits.
I do a bit about being a vegetarian.
Uh huh.
And I open it with some version of like, and I'm a vegetarian, and I'm not just saying that to be the guy that's a vegetarian that has to bring up they're a vegetarian. That's why I'm going to mention I do CrossFit. But the reason why I mention I'm a vegetarian is, and it plays into the stereotype.
Yeah, that is good. That's much. Mine is, if you've ever met someone that, or first off, like, has anybody else here lost a friend to CrossFit?
Yeah.
You know, if you know anyone that does CrossFit, then you know every detail about it because they're like the Jehovah Witnesses of exercises. So it's all the same. What I like more about that bit is that when I make fun of the specific workouts.
Sure.
Of the, because I do enjoy the gyms because there's no like normal exercise equipment, which is, it's like rings and monkey bars. And it was started by somebody, I'm full doing my bit right now. Started by somebody that hated gyms but loved recess.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not good. That was a bad idea to do this bit, right?
No, it's great. It's great.
It's great. Thank you so much.
Is this your album? Let's release it.
This is my Life from Lestat's album that I'm
like
giving
that.
You right
I like
now.
That.
Those are awful choices, but I'm glad that you've transitioned to other things. Are you doing commercial stuff? You're acting?
No. I used to. I politely told my agent, just, you know, stop. After my oldest started getting a little older, I was like, I'm not going to drive to Santa Monica at 4 p.m. for a commercial audition.
Right.
So no, I do not.
But Lou, our sound guy here at Lestat's, swore up and down that he had seen you in a commercial.
It might be me. I did a contact commercial years ago that is maybe still airing. It wouldn't surprise me if it's still airing and I'm still not getting paid. The last commercial I did, oh God, what is it? It was for bacon. It was for like bacon or something. And I was with the, this isn't out of disrespect, it's just, it was still a couple of years ago. Those guys that like make those big food things and eat them, like really popular on YouTube.
What?
Epic Mealtime. Yeah,
oh,
it was with one
of
the guys from Epic Mealtime.
Oh.
And he gave me like a bacon house or whatever. Like that was, no. I remember what the commercial was for now. That's funny. I shouldn't say because they're not paying. It was for Android Pay.
Okay.
Yeah, and I was like at a food truck, and I needed to like I was buying some big. He had like a food truck, and I was buying some a bacon house, and it was like easy to do because I could just hold my phone to the thing and
sure.
get a bacon house. But that was probably 2 years ago, if not
right. It sounds like some prolific work you.
It
were
was
doing.
Some pretty. I had to get. I was method. So I sent every other actor on set a dead rat. I just follow.
Oh yeah, the full Jared Leto.
I follow the Leto. Yeah,
that was so funny because you know, as the comic book nerd that I am, everyone's like. Oh yeah, did you see Jared Leto's doing this? It's like, it sounds like he's doing stuff the Joker never did. You know, like the Joker didn't do any of these things. He was just, you know, crazy about a Batman hero that's not in the real world. Like you can't really do method Joker because
right.
that Gotham universe is not a real universe. Right. You can't pretend to be that. That's like when, what's his name, was Abraham Lincoln and was it
Daniel Day-Lewis?
And everyone's like, oh, he's sending his texts with A. And you're like, yeah, I don't think Abraham Lincoln sent texts. I understand that he's taking on the name, but I'm glad that you committed to the method acting.
Yeah, I really did.
And it really showed in that work, which
Thank
is
you.
Why
Thank you
it's so prolific yeah. in that Lou side. I am genuinely, I think intrigued is the right word.
Okay.
Because you break stereotypes and you do 10,000 different things. All of which
you
are
really break stereotypes as a straight white male comedian.
No,
we've never seen one of you know, those.
You know what I'm talking about? Like that are contradictory. Like there's not a lot of lawyer gamers, or is there? That are also dads and also exercise. Like even the video gaming exercising. Like those aren't usually hand in hand.
I think it's not stereotypes, but we're seeing more of it. I mean, we are. I'm
I like you talking about it, like you're making progress.
Well, it as a stereotype is we are the first generation to really come up with video games. So it's just dads play video games.
How old
now.
Are you?
I am 37.
So I'm 33. Yeah, I had video games. I got my NES at 5.
Yeah.
So yeah, we've had it our whole lives.
Right, and so it's just like that's like saying like. Oh yeah, dads play basketball. Like, ugh, can you believe he played basketball as a kid and he still plays it? It's like yeah. Oh, can you believe that my dad still reads? So yeah. So lame. He's still a reader.
He's been reading since he was 5.
Yeah, he
Get
learned,
over
he got his
it.
First book at 5.
Get a job. Yeah. Stop reading.
Yeah, I come home from a long day at work and my dad's just reading. when he gets up in the morning, he just wants to read. It's a newspaper, a book, a magazine.
Yeah.
He's always reading. So gaming is something that is, it's a pastime. It's like watching a movie. It's,
right.
You know anything else
it's
now.
It's a form of entertainment.
Yeah.
Yeah. I get that. I think you're right. I've never even thought about it in those terms. If there are like when we were growing up, there was the stereotype of like the kid that played too many video games and was lazy and he just stays
yeah.
at home,
yeah.
smokes pot and plays video games.
Yeah.
And like, that's not really it. Like, yeah, I've been recreationally gaming since I was a little kid and it's still fun. The video games have gotten better.
Yeah. And there's all types. I mean, from a simple iOS game to like a super complicated mobile game. That's
right.
Like, a card management game plus an RPG.
Right.
And then there's
online gambling.
Online gambling.
When did you start? Were you like I said, I got my first NES at 5.
Yeah.
And I've like, so my video game story, like I've on and off played, but
right.
you're still into it. You do the Twitch thing, which I don't even really know what that is.
Yeah, I do, not like as a profession. I'm not regular, like to really do it, you got to be on all the time and, you know, interact and do
right.
this and that, whatever. But I've never stopped gaming. My first system was a ColecoVision.
Okay.
I don't, like my older brother and I.
I don't even know what that is.
It's like a competitor of the Atari that didn't win.
That's like that. What was the system that came out that had that game Worms on it? What was
Oh, Worms has been on everything.
Oh, okay. Maybe I'd only played it on that.
The Atari Jaguar was one that did not do well. Yeah.
There was one system
3DO.
That came out like somewhere around
TurboGrafx
the PS1
16,
time
PS1.
That it just didn't make it.
It could have been the Saturn, but
Dreamcast, was that it?
The Saturn was first and the Dreamcast.
Yeah, I think Dreamcast was
such
yeah.
a good system.
I played it on a friend's. I was like, I'd never seen the game Worms either.
Yeah.
And it was, maybe it was everywhere, but yeah,
yeah.
It was like these systems, some systems just don't make it.
They don't make it. They don't make it out, baby.
Or they do well like Sega did for a while and then.
They made the Dreamcast.
Oh, there you go. And so was that the death of Sega?
That was their last console.
Oh.
Yeah. They still make games. It's a very different company now. But.
What do they do?
I mean, Sonic Mania came out this year. It's Sonic, a return to form for
On
Sonic.
On what?
Everything.
Okay.
Xbox, PlayStation, Switch. They make games.
Just not on
Sega. Not on Sega consoles anymore.
So they just make games.
Yeah, they're a publisher.
It's a world I don't know. It's so strange to me because like when Super Nintendo came out and Sega, it was like Nike versus Reebok. Like, right. It was like these were, you know, like 1-2, like, it was like total brand loyalty. It was, yeah, Apple Windows. Like, which one are you? And I hate yours. Like, no, Sega's way better.
We do what Nintendo don't. Like, that was like a yeah, Sega, an actual Sega
tagline. And I just hated that third button on Sega.
Yeah.
That C button. Yeah. Is that what it was?
Yeah.
And then, but the R and L on Super, it wasn't even close. Where was your loyalty in that era?
I had both growing up. I was more of a Sega kid, probably. Super NES was in my older brother's room.
Steven, you too? You were a Sega kid? Get out of here.
Well, Sega had Mortal Kombat with blood in it. Like,
did Super? No, Super, you could turn the blood on and off.
On Mortal Kombat 2. In Mortal Kombat 1, it was just sweat. And the fatalities were different, too.
No. That's. I think you could turn the blood. No, I remember going,
Sega
that was
Genesis,
Mortal Kombat 2.
You had to do a cheat code to activate the blood, but it was in it. And all the fatalities were original and real.
Think about how much games have changed in that short period of time.
Yeah.
Because I remember Mortal Kombat coming out and being like, everyone was like a big thing. Like, yeah, you couldn't play that. And you look back on this and you're like, oh, yeah, Scorpion's skull showed where somebody got it turned into a skeleton or got knocked into the pit.
Yeah.
And now it's like you're shooting hookers.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing I think about video games is that you have to remember where they came from. And there's an old Atari game called Custer's Revenge, which graphically isn't that impressive because it was an Atari.
Is this like General Custer?
Yeah, it's an Atari 2600 game. And it's a side scroller. So picture Mario, like old school Mario. And you're running along and arrows are flying through the sky. Okay. Yeah. And you're naked, by the way. You have a cowboy hat on and boots or whatever. It's a real game. You can look this up. And you're running and you have an erection.
What?
And arrows are coming at you, flying at you. And you have to dodge the arrows. And when you get to the end of the level, there is a Native American woman tied to a pole that you then slam into. and then hump a few times.
This doesn't sound real.
Custer's Revenge.
This
it
sounds
is
like someone
horribly
just
offensive.
Yeah.
And so, like, that was a 2600 game. Like, a game, I don't think it was, like, made by Atari or I forget who made it, but, like, games have been Grand Theft Auto since games.
Yeah.
And it's like, guy was like, I made Pong. And then someone was like, what if I turn this ball into a body part? You know, like, it's always been a thing. But, yes, games
now. It just wasn't as mainstream.
Right. Or
now those are
fidelity.
Popular. Like, I'd never heard of those things before until you just told me. But
yeah,
everybody's heard of Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah, or Wolfenstein or some of these.
The
new Wolfenstein's so good.
Is it?
Yeah.
I had only played Wolfenstein on a computer, and I remember shooting a lot of dogs.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, technically, you don't have to kill the dogs, but that's a choice that you made.
No, didn't they attack me?
No, I mean, they're usually pretty nice. If you have a treat, you can just give them a treat.
Well, you had to eat their dog food sometimes.
You did. You had to survive. You had, I mean, it's liver.
You got to go kill Hitler, man.
You can't, you know, he becomes a mech Hitler.
I mean, that's
Hitler
an interesting moral question. I mean, would you kill a dog to go kill Hitler? I mean, that's really, if Wolfenstein posed any question, it was that, right?
I don't want to tell you what I would do, but if I had a time machine, the first thing I would do is go back in time and kill a bunch of dogs. What about Hitler? Nah, he's cool.
No.
These dogs.
I would kill his dogs to make him sad.
Yeah, I mean, dogs are so great.
And then
dogs are so great. But video games are something we've grown up with that are continuing to grow up with. Like, dads play them. You might not have as much time because whatever, so you're not, you know, top of your league or grinding in Destiny like you would. But there are people that exercise that are, it's such, and I think what's fascinating about games is I might consider myself a gamer with a capital G to define a term.
Right.
But like on an airplane, I'm sleeping or working on a set because I'm flying to do a gig or doing whatever. And I look over at the business person next to me who does not consider themselves a gamer.
Right.
And they're grinding out like 8 hours in Bejeweled the whole flight. Like, you've played more video games today than I will in a week.
Right.
But if someone were to ask you, do you play video games? You'd be like, no, they're dumb.
That's true. The phone changed it.
Changed everything.
Like, they're the new crossword puzzle.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
That's what people are doing on the toilet.
All the time.
There's no more Reader's Digest.
No.
It's gone.
Gone.
Yeah.
If you go into my bathroom, I actually have 15 iPads. So you can just pick a magazine
Why
to read.
Why 15?
Because they're all one magazine only.
Okay. We have one for each family member and then like a rough amount of guests.
Yeah, you that just, would but come you want to use your iPad again. Right. Yeah, it's all different accounts.
These are our regular guests and then we have one rotating for new guests.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So how old are your kiddos?
Almost 5 and a half and almost 3.
Okay, so young.
May. Yeah.
So are you playing with them?
Yeah, I tried to get them into games earlier, but I don't want to force it.
Get them hooked.
Like, it's like, the thing about kids, it's like Tiger Woods would have never played golf, or, you know, like his dad introduced him to it.
Right.
Tiger wasn't four and was like, I want to play golf. You know,
it's between Chris Rock and Tiger Woods, I don't know what was more accurate.
Was 4 year old Tiger. So go to the tape.
Yeah.
But you know, they don't know things unless you introduce them to it.
Right.
So, you introduce your kids unwittingly or knowingly to things that you are passionate about or that you want to expose them to.
Right.
I'm not passionate about guitar or piano, but I think it could be a good skill for my kids to have.
Sure.
So it's like, oh, let's teach them this stuff. But video games I like, and I want to play in their company. And so they're kind of getting into it. They love Splatoon 2. We're playing
right.
a lot of Splatoon 2
on Switch
right now.
Yeah, we got a lot of Splatoon
right now,
in the house too.
Which is great. And slowly getting them into it. And then iPad games that you don't consider games. There's like good edutainment
right.
games on iPad that, like, is it a game? I mean, kind of, but it's
right.
also like learning and spelling and even color recognition. Things that maybe would have been Simon, like that thing that you're like,
sure,
boop,
yeah.
boop, boop. Now that's a $2 app on your iPad
right.
that the kid can play in a car or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. We didn't have we had Game Boy. That was our only version of
yeah.
the portable.
Yeah.
But I think that's interesting. So when you like, you're like, hey, I want to give my kids exposure to this. Are you thinking of, so they can have a lifelong fun thing to do in entertainment as opposed to the music or the sports? Like, how do you, you know, differ the different options?
I think that gaming, there's a lot of positives that can come from gaming. There's a lot of negative stereotypes that go with it, but it's like problem solving, hand-eye coordination.
Sure.
And also it's a passion of mine and a hobby that I would like to share with them. There's like I had a real proud dad moment where I did not get a good workout at all. But for the first time, I went for a run while my daughter rode her bike.
Right.
And I was like, man, this is awesome.
Right.
What a moment.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
And so it's like the same thing I think of, like, a parent, you know, oh, I'm shooting hoops with my kid.
Yeah.
What a moment. Or like, let's go play catch.
Right.
And I remember the first time my 2.5-year-old won her first game with Splatoon 2, and she wasn't last on her team.
Yeah.
And she went like, yes.
Yeah.
Like, hand up, like, visibly super happy.
Yeah.
That she did this thing. So it's more just a shared experience, the same way I think, you know, it's like, oh, let's cook a meal together, and they have like their little kid knives, and they
yeah.
cut all the vegetables or whatever.
Yeah.
You're just sharing a hobby with them. If they bounce off gaming when they're older, that's fine. It's not going to be like,
right.
no, before you can do your homework.
It's a family tradition.
Yeah.
Spicers.
Yeah.
We are gamers.
Yeah, the league reset in Overwatch.
Yeah.
And now's the time to go and... You got to level up.
You're like an old, like, 18th century tailor passing
right.
down the trade. This is what we do.
Yeah, yeah.
We are tailors.
Yeah. Do you force it on your kids?
The video gaming?
Yeah, because we had a text thread back and forth about picking up a Switch or
yeah.
if it's good for kids or...
I didn't have to. My
yeah.
kid wanted to. He, you know, he kind of picked up screens and gaming because we had an iPad and
yeah.
it was like kind of like some basics and we just kind of like ease into it like through like Angry Birds
yeah.
and then started doing Minecraft and stuff like that as he got a little bit older. And then whatever the oldest kid did, the, you know, Gloria, the middle child, was all over, I want to do this as well.
Yeah.
And so we kind of went through, you know, we want to pick up a system. And then there was that weird kind of gap where Nintendo hadn't put out a good system in a while because the Wii U was such a bomb for him. And so we're like, the Wii is pretty old. Like, we had that, but they were pretty young. And that was
yeah.
more for, like, when people came over and we all wanted to bowl together.
The Switch sold more units in its first year than the Wii U did over its entire 4-year
yeah.
lifespan.
Oh, it's crazy.
Yeah.
And it's truly, it felt like, oh, this is what I remember Nintendo to be. And that it reminded me of when the Wii came out. And then Nintendo will do these things where they go, we're not... It reminds me of when Steve Jobs talked about, like, I don't really care about what consumers say they want. We're just going to invent a new thing, and
right,
we're going
to yeah.
make them want it.
This is what we think you want, and
right.
here's why you want it.
Yeah, and the idea of having a system that could be your on-the-go, in-your-hand system, and then connect to your TV as well, and seamlessly
yeah.
was like, oh, this is innovative, this is fun. And Nintendo is, honestly, it seems like, I mean, maybe I'm wrong here, you can correct me, as far as little kids, it's the best systems.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot. Xbox and Sony have good kid games also, but
yeah.
the difference is that the first party games that they're putting out aren't as kid friendly, whereas Nintendo games are always really well made and games that kids can play.
Yeah.
So it works, whereas, like, Sony's dropping God of War on April 20th, and, like, that's going to be an incredible game, but that's not, like, okay, here you go, 6-year-old. Yeah. Kratos is angry, and this time
your
it's
3-year-old's not going to be celebrating their victory.
Right, right. You killed that war beast. Like, it's not going to be the moment you have.
You're going to still be playing Splatoon.
Right, and Nintendo's games, they do a really good job, and on the platform, too, what's so great about the Switch is that the way they prioritize character design and art style over photorealism means that they can... We're at a point now where it's like, the game looks incredible in a handheld mode, and you're like, I'm playing Breath of the Wild on a handheld. This is incredible. And then you put it on your TV, and it still looks incredible.
It's amazing,
not like
yeah.
back in the day. I think Vita, one of the Sony Vitas or PSPs, you could technically hook up to your TV.
Right.
But when you did, it just didn't look... It was like, it wasn't there. But we're there now.
Right.
Where, like, does Breath of the Wild graphically compare in terms of, like, number of polys and colors it's pushing out to Horizon Zero Dawn? No. But in 10 years, I think Breath of the Wild will hold up better because it's got this aesthetic to it.
Right.
That Horizon Zero Dawn is just gorgeous, but it's a little more photorealism. And then we're like, oh, I can't believe we used to think this looked good. You know, whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah. That is funny when you go back on some of those games and you're like, man, I thought this was the best thing I'd ever seen.
Yeah.
Some of them hold up, but a lot of them don't.
Yeah, especially early polygonal games. It's hard.
I don't even know what that word means.
Polygons?
Oh, yeah.
So for 2D sprites versus 3D models.
I need game examples.
So polygonal, think...
What'd you say, Steven?
I still don't know.
I still don't know.
So
what a shape is. Picture, I know what the shapes are, but give me a specific game.
Picture Virtual Fighter.
Oh, yay!
So that was an early polygonal game.
Or like a...
They have a meeting in here, so...
Okay, cool.
Yep.
Thanks. So where you have... like Street Fighter with sprites.
Like Tekken?
Polygonal.
Okay. Yeah. But yeah, when those came out, we're like, these are the best looking things I'd ever seen.
Well, it just blew... What was
Killer Instinct?
No, not that.
No,
it's more... That was like rendered... I forget exactly what they did there. But like Daytona USA.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Virtual Racing.
Yeah,
Star Fox.
Right.
Where you had... With 3D models, what you could do is you could move the camera around.
Right.
In a way that a 2D sprite, you'd have to animate everything of it. But a polygonal thing has volume or whatever the word I'm looking for. So once you create a camera in space, you've created an object that you can then rotate around.
Right, and so when we saw it then, we're like, this is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, and now you're like, you go back and play GoldenEye, and you're like, oi. But when you played it before, you're like, I'm looking at a mirror, and this is Pierce Brosnan. Like, you know, like, they will never do better than this. And now it's like,
Pierce Brosnan is in my living room right now.
Yeah.
And he's beautiful.
Yeah, it's incredible. I climbed through the bathroom air conditioning vent, just like in the movie.
Yeah.
We've hit peak video game.
Yeah. I think that it's interesting, like because I love playing games with my kids, and I was playing, before we came in, I was playing FIFA with my kid on the Switch, and we like playing sports games because he's a little jock, which, and that's fun, and if anything, it's almost like hard for me not to be uber competitive.
Yeah.
Like I'll beat him, we're like, yeah, that's right, you know, like getting in his face and talking mad mess. But which is fun and a shady experience. But then we have the struggle of like, and maybe your kids are too young. Maybe they're there already where it's like the limiting, you know, like that's like the perpetual struggle for a parent right now is screen time. How many screens monitoring? You know what I mean?
Yeah. So we do limit it. We don't have like a hard and fast rule. It's not like you get an hour of screen time every day, but we're not unlimited. I have a friend who's unlimited. And the way that him and his wife put it, which I think is great, is like we don't want to teach... We don't want to limit their screen time. We want to teach moderation. Mm. So we want the kid to self-limit, the kid to know, and then like know what's meaningful interactions and what's not. Because there's a big difference in screen time where it's like, I'm watching YouTube Kids, and it's like, I'm going to unbox. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Tina's channel. I'm going to unbox these Shopkins.
What a weird trend.
Look at this Shopkins. It's so amazing.
It's the strangest thing in the world, the kids watching people open presents
or like
that aren't theirs.
The computer-generated, like machine-generated, machine-learned, where it's like Princess Jasmine's head floating around a thing, and it's like, God is good, God is great. Thank you for the. It's a golden night. Just like weird mashups of like, why you're saying a prayer, and now you're like into a song. So there's a big difference.
YouTube Kids is weird like that. Yeah,
or even like pick a show, right? Like there's a big difference between what might be have edutainment value, like Daniel Tiger or Sesame Street, and then a show that's a little more just entertainment, like Turtles.
Right.
And then being on a screen, and like, what if your kid is on there for 4 hours in GarageBand,
right,
laying down dope tracks?
Right.
Like, that's still screen time, but would you have been mad if your kid was in their room on like a mini keyboard and a mixer,
right,
being like, bum, 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 bum,
right,
you'd be like, musical, we got the next Pharrell.
Yeah.
But now that's done on the screen.
Now you're right. You can't lump it all together. They're,
yeah,
different things.
So it's how you engage with it, or like
even
Minecraft.
I was going to say Minecraft is a totally different thing.
Yeah.
You know?
And like, I think it's fascinating too. There was an ESPN 30 for 30 podcast about Madden,
mm-hmm,
which is great because it talks about, one, it's a really well done podcast. And the Madden episode, it talks about how so many of the young guys in the NFL grew up playing Madden.
Right.
And so Madden's gone full circle, where Madden used to try to emulate the NFL, and now the NFL is trying to emulate Madden.
Yeah.
Where, like, they've tried to speed up the play of game. They're trying to have these big moments and these catches. And it's like, you know, so are you playing a game? And guys, that they talk about on the Madden episode also how we're like, the Seahawks, you buy Madden 19 and you play as the Seahawks. Like, Madden doesn't have access to the Seahawks playbook.
Right.
But they know they have access to their last 10 years of plays.
Absolutely.
That Pete Carroll's called at Seattle and at USC.
Right.
What he's likely to do and what this. And so other teams will research,
right,
the playbook in Madden.
Yeah.
Or they'll run against, you know, in NBA 2K, they'll run against the Warriors to see how mobile Steph Curry is.
Yeah, that almost kind of plays to your idea earlier of, like, video games aren't subculture anymore.
They're not.
It's,
yeah,
mainstream.
It's everything.
Yeah.
Like, you're wearing a Wolverine shirt right now. Mm-hmm. I remember when I was a kid, I had one, and it was, like, a large, and it didn't fit, but I was, like, I couldn't find comic book shirt. And it was, like, my flag, right?
Yes.
Like, if I saw you across the room in elementary school, I knew we'd be best friends.
Right.
Like, this is a moment. We've had a moment.
It's like when you see someone wearing a similar jersey.
Yeah, and now
we're best friends now.
Yeah. A few things rile me up. My biggest pet peeve, I would say, is all the pet peeves I have.
What?
But, like, it bothers me that still when, like, local news, or not even local news, Entertainment Weekly, or not, I don't know, Access Hollywood, whatever it is, right? And they'll be like, Comic-Con is starting, a collection of nerds. Like,
ugh.
You know what I mean? There's always some.
And you're like, listen, there isn't 50,000 nerds or whatever.
It's going to be a stinky thing, but we're having fun. It's like, oh, man, I'm such a nerd. I saw Black Panther, a movie that's made $1 billion in the domestic box. I'm such a nerd that my favorite movie is Star Wars, a movie that was the biggest grossing film. You
know,
like,
you know, it's funny when you were talking about earlier, like, you know, like video game folks, like, and then you also work out. And when you go to Comic-Con, and I've been a few times, like, you talk about, like, oh, man, people doing cosplay, they're nerds. Like, some of these people will be dressed up as, like, Shazam.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is the best looking shape I've ever seen a human be in.
Yeah.
This person is so ripped. This person, all he does is work out and read comic books.
Yeah.
Those are his two things.
And for real, I don't mean this as a dumb, hacky joke. You want to go to a cosplay convention? It's easy. Go to the Major League sporting team in your town, and everyone will be dressed up like their favorite player. No one's like, look at all these, you know, I don't know, pick a player.
Yeah.
Like, look at all these Springer cosplayers at this Astros game. Oh, my God, I can't believe all these Altuves. Look at all these nerds.
All right, I get it. You know sports, too.
Yeah.
You're just showing.
And now I'm just bragging a little bit.
You're just showing names.
Well, I was going to do Lincecum, but just because he's coming back.
Lincecum? Is Lincecum coming back?
He signed a one-year deal with the Rangers.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That means, you know, University of Washington grad.
Uh-huh, I know. That's why I brought it up.
No, it's not.
It really is.
No, it's not.
I just read about, and also there's a picture of
you him. Did not know that I went to the University of Washington.
I didn't know you went there, but I knew you're from Seattle.
That's true.
So you'd have a connection.
I do really do shove that down people's throats.
Yeah.
We get it.
Also, like, I'm a vegetarian. I get it.
Someone said to me that this last week, it was, as a clean comedian, this is the highest compliment that you can get. Someone, the host, I was up in Tucson, Laughs Tucson.
And I would say over, but okay.
Over?
Yeah.
What did I say? Up?
Yeah.
It was up. I mean, it was north of San Diego.
Yeah, I mean, everything is.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Other than Chula Vista. So I was doing a club in Chula Vista.
Got it. Called Tucson.
The name of the club was Tucson.
Yeah.
So I was there, and I was staying in the condo with the host, who was from L.A., and he kind of hit me. He was like, it was Saturday morning, and he was like, hey, did you not swear last night? In your bit, I was like, yeah. He's like, do you wear clean? And he's like, yeah, that's fine. It's just like, and he goes like, you know how you have that joke about, like, CrossFit? He's like, that's what most clean comedians are like. Like, we get it. You're clean. You just don't have to constantly tell us how it's a higher form of comedy.
Yeah, as a clean comedian.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Like, it's like in your bio like six times. Yeah. You know, like, clean comedian, won the clean, and then you request the whole show to be clean.
To be clean, too, yeah.
So what I'm saying is clean comedy is my vegetarian.
Have I said Chappelle yet this episode or not?
You have not. Okay, you have tonight. Showed me the picture of you and David Chappelle.
I mean, anyway, you work clean. A question for you with older kids that play video games.
Yes.
Have you guys waded into like parental controls yet? Because I feel like every system's a little different. I haven't had to get into it yet, but you hear the horror stories of like the kid spent $1,000 on FIFA cards.
Right.
Or... you know, the kid bought Call of Duty, like you had to have the sex talk because they downloaded Wolfenstein 2 and they're and like, you don't know what your kid's doing. And because there's not like a universal way. And I tried to set up a child account on my Switch so that like my girls could just grab it.
Right.
But then like they had to.
It's pretty easy to switch accounts.
Well, that and like they had Netflix. To like, they had to restart Splatoon 2.
Yeah.
Because like it's a new account. I was like, they have to do the tutorial?
Yeah.
Like some of that's kind of challenging.
Yeah.
Versus like just running around splatting in the main game.
Our biggest fear is not the consoles. It's computers and phones.
Sure.
Because you can get there quicker and easier.
Yeah.
And there's more damage. Because the Switch is pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, the Switch, we do the alarm.
Yeah.
You know, of like, you can set the alarm of how many, how long they've been playing.
Yeah.
Which, when I'm playing, is like, just ignore the bell. Just, we've got to finish.
I'm in the zone.
Exactly. You know, Joel is our oldest, and... You know, in regard,
Joel is your Olstein? Is that what you
Joel
said?
Joel is our Olstein. Which is funny.
He's
because
very successful, by the
about
way.
Half of my social media presence is trolling Joel Olstein so that I have a child named Joel.
Who is your Olstein?
My Olstein. Joel, we trust in regards to the money thing. Like, he doesn't buy things. He, like, knows the password and could buy games if he wanted to.
Yeah,
he knows.
Trust.
Because I think it's JoelBug07. I think he knows it. I think.
Whoa, guys, if you find Destin's Switch lying around.
That may be it. We'll have to edit that out. So in regards to that, it's not an issue. And that's part of the reason that we bought the Switch is Joel... wanted to play games and wanted to have some screens, and we were all for that. And that I don't think it's particularly harmful, but compared to, you know, unsupervised time on an iPad, which has all the horrors of the internet, so readily accessible. Like, Joel's not allowed to, with him, like, it was like, you can't be on YouTube. Like, we have like a word, no YouTube. You can't be on YouTube. You can't be.
Yeah.
He doesn't really do iPad anymore. That's part of the reason that we bought the Switch, which is like, hey, you can only play the game that's on.
Yeah.
And it's in a common area, so we can walk by. You can't. That's one thing that we were talking to, Melissa and I were talking about today. He'll want to play like online with his friends, and we're like, no, I don't want you talking to anybody.
Well, that's the good thing about the Switch is that voice chat is almost impossible. It's so bad.
Is it?
It's like a phone app.
Oh, okay.
You have to like have a headset. It's like a splitter if you want to hear the game, and it's awful.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
perfect.
You're fine. Yeah.
That's all for us. So we have started that, but I mean, you know, it'll probably get a little more challenging if he wants to do like a different gaming system. But as of right now, it's like, hey, you can play the game that you want. And he's content. You know, periodically for his birthday or for Christmas, he'll get a new game and he's happy to play that. And he's content with the games themselves.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it makes sense.
It's the horrors of the general internet that more scare me.
It's the what?
The horrors.
Oh, okay. I was like, it's good. Also, the other thing is true.
The horrors.
Yeah, got it.
Of the general internet to terrify me.
Yeah, well, it's just access to everything. And this, I don't want to shift gears too hard, but it's like we are, and I'm curious to see how our kids react to it, where we are on the edge of potentially getting into the death of facts, where you have like face swap.
Yeah.
It's such a thing, and it's very easy to do. We're like, video is becoming photo. Remember, there's an article, I forget where it was, Newsweek, New York Times, a magazine, whatever, where it's like, you know, it was years ago, I think it was in middle school, and it was like the death of truth, and there was a picture of a guy like on like surfing on the Statue of Liberty or something like that, and it was like, we gave this picture, this Photoshop picture, to a expert and they couldn't discern a difference between this and a real. And we're getting there now with video. And what I think is fascinating about that, depending on how far you go, is I think that almost gives credibility to conspiracy theorists, where you have this idea of like, all of a sudden my kids might be flat earthers because we're going to live in a world where we can only believe things we've seen with our own two eyes.
Right.
So it's like, yeah, I saw a video of a thing going around the earth, but until I've also seen a video of, you know, Tom Cruise eating a shark or I don't know, whatever it is, right? Where it's like,
and my hero Kyrie Irving is a a flat earther.
Now we're just talking about flat earthers. Yeah. But but so I think in regards to, you know, having the internet or the fears of the whole internet, it's just like, it's up to them to react to the it's always children fixing the problems of their parents' creation.
Well, because I feel like even in my own self that I become, I don't want to say, I become almost apathetic to information.
Yeah.
That's where I felt like, someone will, you know, something will come out, and unless it's a great, horrible story, like a school shooting or a tragedy or a natural disaster or something like that, if someone will say, you know, this thing came out about Trump or this thing that came out about, you know, the state of education or this thing came out, and you'll go, oh, okay. And you almost don't know if it's true because there is a sense. I mean, how many times that's happened in our world of comedy, and there'll be a new story that comes out about how horrible this comedian is and the, you know, the allegations against them. And then you'll kind of wait it out for 24 hours and you go, did it still stick?
Okay, so it's still stole jokes. Yeah. It's like, no, shared thought. Okay.
Yeah. I've become to the point, and maybe this is healthy, but I've gotten to the point that I have a delayed emotional reaction.
Yeah, I think that's
to information.
Smart, because we're at a, it's the our sources say, or you just want to be the first to report a thing, and then the retraction, no one pays attention to the retraction of the facts.
Right.
And so it's like, you can't, the first thing that comes out might not be true.
Yeah.
But it's a not, dangerous place.
Yeah, and I've heard that a couple times too, that it's not right. I mean, anymore with news, it's not about what's right, it's about who's first.
Yeah.
So who can break the story.
Yeah.
So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how our kids respond to that. 100%, you know. What do you think about on the, because this is like, you know, when people will listen to this, assuming people will listen to this, and when, because I think one of the biggest critiques, and you've heard this 1,000 times, of, are video games good for kids?
Sure.
And it's not just the time, though, you know, because obviously video games are so much more fun than homework. But like, in, we heard this when we were kids with like Mortal Kombat and stuff, but like just the violence.
Right.
You know, like, oh, you know, if the video games and the movies and all these things, you know, so do you think through as like, oh, well, it depends on their age that they are and how much they do it. I mean, when you hear people kind of use that common rhetoric about video games and the effect that they have on our kids, you know, because they're playing Call of Duty or whatever it may be. I mean, what goes through your mind when you hear that?
Yeah,
as a gamer, as a dad, and as a social justice warrior in yourself, you know?
I feel like the things we consume affect us.
Sure.
And to pretend they don't would be dishonest. But does it make us worse? I don't know. I'm trying to think of the best way to phrase it. So, like, it's weird because it's hard to say, well, we've had violent movies and TV shows for a while and we're fine. But then I can't sit there and also say, you got to play this iOS game Florence because it's like it's a nice digital, it's like a graphic novel, an animated graphic novel. But the way you interact with the story really connects you to the character that isn't possible in a film. Like, I find Florence to be so much more engaged. It's like 2 hours, it's $4, but it's really nicely done and it's moving.
Right.
And the fact that I was interacting with it and not just watching it as a motion comic, I became more connected to the character. So if that's possible, then I'd have to also accept the fact that me controlling violence makes it me engaging with it in a way that is different than me just watching it on screen. The same way that games are engaging, I'm the one causing the violence.
Right.
And I think that we do have a responsibility in terms of using that wisely and not just having it be violence for violence's sake, but having you interact with it and weigh those decisions. And it's the same thing that I think that it happens in good books, media, television, film, where you can have a torture porn film and it's just like violence for the sake of violence. And I think that does desensitize people to it. But a better version of it challenges the viewer and pushes them to think about it and do what they're going to do with it. So I think there are horrible examples of it in all aspects of life that does is the death of culture or whatever.
Right.
But then hopefully with all of that, we're getting things like Florence or Wolfenstein 2, which is graphically violent, but I think raises very interesting questions and also isn't for a 10-year-old to be playing.
Right.
But presents you in a way that is, it makes you question the violence and what's happening, and the protagonist is struggling with it, and you as embodying that character, you're able to learn from that in a way that isn't possible necessarily in a film. But, you know, you look at other things like pornography and the access people have to that, and the exception, the expectations of what a sexual relationship or encounter is like, and how that has changed over time. But I don't know if that's necessarily if it's bad. We're so in it still that I think it's hard to look back and say that humans are now objectively worse off than we were before. Like, I think it's, to some extent, you know, I'm going to use a TV show as an example as if it were actual reality, but you look back at, like, Mad Men era type thing, and, like, were things better then because kids weren't exposed to violence and this, that, and the other? They weren't playing violent video games? Well, it's like, I don't know, they were more racist than we are now. A lot of stay-at-home women started turning to antidepressants to cope with their life.
Right.
Men weren't happy with their home life, so they were cheating on their spouses more. But marriages were forced to stay together because of that. So it's like, but, you know, kids didn't have violent video games then, so I guess it was, guess it was better. I think it's hard to say.
Yeah, I think I'm in there with you. I think that there things are evolving, and in the sense that we sometimes some versions of games or movies will come out that are very shocking, just for the sake of being shocking,
right?
And then they evolve, and then there's characters that come through that are more empathetic and then help you kind of wrestle with that same tension that you're trying to. I think that when video games get blamed for things, it's just such a blanket excuse,
sure,
that is just not, you know, grounded in any sense of reality. And that, is there a chance the game inspired a kid to violence? Of course there is.
Yeah.
Of course there is. Was that a home that had a couple hands-off parents? Probably. You know, that was giving content, kind of to your point, to kids that were like too young to engage with that content and weren't neurologically developed enough to understand that this is a game, and to understand that there is a separation between this and reality, and that this isn't cool. This is just a game for entertainment's sake, in the same way that Saving Private Ryan is a movie that depicts a, you know, a war movie. When I see those things, I'm always just like, it feels like such an easy excuse.
Yeah, and we've always had it, whether it's rock music or, you know, whatever it is, right? Like, oh, it's ruining our society. But do you know what?
Yeah.
Do you know when we didn't have violent video games? Like, I promise you there were no violent video games when white Western Europeaners were going to the shores of Africa and enslaving entire races of people, putting them in horrible conditions, shipping them back to their country, forcing them to work in horrible like, there were no violent video games then, but we were. Do you know also when there weren't violent video games? When people, in God's name, crusaded across big parts of the world, killing anyone that got in their way, that didn't agree with their religion. They didn't get that from violent video games. You know when there weren't violent video games? When Hitler rose to power and decided that an entire race, class, gender of society wasn't worth living. Like, he wasn't inspired by a video game. Human beings,
it comes out of the heart,
are garbage.
Yeah.
We are garbage animals that have to wrestle with the fact that we are the top of the food chain and that we are cognizant of our own being. We have gotten every other animal just struggles to survive.
Right.
Right? Like, you get up, a bird wakes up, it tries to find food, it tries to find water, it tries to find a place to build its nest, it calls a day, right?
Right.
Human beings, we have gotten so good at surviving that we literally create distractions for ourselves to keep ourselves entertained, because the time it takes us to do the necessities in order to which to survive take up such a small part of our day that we create all these entertainment hobbies.
Oh, eating is so easy.
Yeah, and we are now
I just have all this food.
We're so good at being entertained that we've created an entire segment of entertainment to do while we're consuming other entertainment. Like, literally shows are like live tweet with the cast of Backstage Podcast while you watch the episode of Backstage Podcast. Like, we're not even... It's mind-blowing.
Oh, my gosh. When I'm on the road, I go see movies that I've seen before already, and I sit in the back and text because I want to see a movie and engage with my friends.
So we're garbage.
Yeah.
So to blame it on Marilyn Manson or Wolfenstein or Halo or Gears of War or an Eli Roth movie.
Yeah.
You want to point a blame, it's us.
I think that they're convenient excuses. That, yeah, neglect bigger problems.
The convenient excuse is always what it's always been, and it's something you don't understand.
Right.
And it's pointing to the thing that you didn't have when you were a kid.
Right.
And pointing to it and saying that it's different, it's an other, and therefore it's the problem. It's the same thing that happens with racism and,
right.
and like so, a gender bias.
So practically, and we can land here, how do you navigate it with your girls and the ages and the games and when they start to consume content? Because I think about it in my own life and like the content that I engaged, like we had the Mortal Kombats and like I had pretty violent games,
yeah.
but those weren't like realistically violent. I'm not like, I'm going to freeze my friend and then knock him his head off. You know,
I mean,
like
Scorpion does rip out a guy's spine dangling.
None of which I had options. I could not, you know, I didn't have any of those finishing moves.
Yeah.
But I did have, you know, first-person shooter yep. games or whatever they may be. The games were a little more make-believe
yep.
that I was playing. But if I think about the things that, like, affected me more as a child negatively, it wasn't video games. It was more like horror movies,
sure.
you know, that I saw too young, that things would, like, haunt and be more.
Yeah.
Those would impact me more.
Yeah.
But so practically navigating as a kid, as a parent, I'm just thinking about, okay, when they can see it, how much they can see it, and then also the conversations that kind of come along with it, and that I'm not just giving you this thing to engage, but we're going to continue to engage around it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it's got to be a conversation, and it's got to be a dialogue, and it's different on a case-by-case example for each kid and whether or not what they can handle and when they can handle it. And then being involved with them to see how they're handling it and processing it.
Right.
And it's not just playing a game or watching a movie. It's and having a conversation afterwards or during. What's your favorite part? What does this make you feel? How is this, you know, whatever. And
yeah.
then you got to build from that. And you're going to make mistakes. And
sure.
parenting, like, it's part of a bit. So I'm not trying to run a bit here. But like...
CrossFit.
CrossFit. What I've learned from parenting is that mostly it's... having your kid box you into a corner and then you as a parent pretending you meant to be there. And it's like, you're going to mess up.
Yeah.
You're going to be like, oh, Nightmare on Elm Street's way scarier than I remember.
Right.
I guess I didn't watch it when I was six.
You should not be watching this. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And then you got to find your way out.
Yeah.
And that's fine. It's fun.
Yeah.
Right? But you do your best.
Right.
You got to do your best.
And I think in general, that's a healthy approach to take with your kids too, of sometimes just being like, I'm not sure. I'm sorry. I messed up here.
Yeah. And no matter what.
Which our parents wouldn't have. There was no like, I'm sorry.
But no matter what you do, your kid is going to look back at you and roll their eyes.
Right.
Like I have a great relationship with my parents. I'm assuming you have a good one with yours. It doesn't matter. But like every person as they grow up is like, ugh. and so it's gonna you can
yeah
whoever it is, I don't know, pick a person
right,
and that's gonna be part of it. So it doesn't matter what you do when your kids become parents, there's gonna be part of their child, part of what you did as a parent that they're gonna want to change and do differently,
right.
and you just can't stress on it. You got to do the best you can and be active, be engaged, and then do the best you can, and it's hard.
Yeah. It's beautiful. It's good stuff. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. If you have not done so already, please rate and subscribe. Follow us on all the social medias and share with all of your friends. Also, if you want to shoot us a note, you can email us at don'tmakemecomebackthere@gmail.com. Also, if you enjoyed this episode and you have not done so already, please go back and listen to all the episodes we've done before. Thanks so much, everybody.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
That's always kind of been her thing, right? Drawing?
You have to promise not to freak out.
Amber drew that?
She's working through some stuff.
You know, feelings aren't bad. When you get angry, sad, or scared, put it in here, where it can't hurt anyone.
Here's the thing. Life is all about
balancing the good and the bad.
I saw an eyeball with legs.
Every part of that was horrifying.
Sketch. In theaters now. Get your tickets at angel.com/sketch.